January is usually all about looking into the future of what we want our lives to be. But so much has changed: how we work, how our children learn, the way we shop and interact with each other. Joining us now for some predictions on what a post-pandemic life might look like is Jeffrey Cole. He's the founder and director of the Center for the Digital Future at USC Annenberg. Jeffrey, welcome.
I am delighted to be here, Tanya. Thank you.
Well, we're very happy to have you. Okay, let's start with work. According to a study by your group, 30% of Americans say that even if they could go back to work safely, they don't want to. Some tech companies we know have already said they're going to allow their employees to work from home after the pandemic. Do you think more broadly people will get their way when this is all over?
I absolutely do. And first, you know, before you even talk about people working from home, you've got to ask how many people can work from home. And we found 76% of Americans can do at least a little bit of their job online. 76 can do at least a little bit. 24% can't do any. And importantly, for people who with just a high school education, 51% can't do any. So already there's a sort of a cultural or economic bias in that. But at the moment, only 10% say they want to go back just like before. 30% say, I don't want to go back at all. And 60% say, I want to go back, but not as much, maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 days a week. So clearly 90% of people want to change.
Jeffrey, my big question for you, though, are companies willing to change? Because so many structures are built on the idea of having people in an office together. Many people's jobs are to manage people in person. We're going to see a lot of restructuring, I would guess.
Very much so. Well, first of all, we think most companies were suspicious of working from home before the pandemic. Supervisors, I think many of them felt that work that didn't occur in front of them didn't actually occur. That working from home on a Friday actually meant a 3-day weekend. So we went into this with suspicion, and people were resistant to allow too much working from home. But I think companies found it worked pretty well. Learning, which we'll talk about in a minute, didn't work as well, but working at home did pan out. It was productive. And I think companies are now seeing that it has significant implications for the size of offices.
But what's going to happen then, Jeffrey, to all of these big corporate office spaces?
They're going to shrink, and it's going to have profound consequences for commercial real estate, which may move into a depression. Most offices may get smaller by a factor of 50%. The whole notion, I think you may see companies moving to where people all come in on Thursday morning and maybe 2 other days a week at their own choosing, but the whole corporate culture may change.
Okay, let's talk about school. You found that 43% of college students say they like online learning better, but they want to see tuition reduced. And many schools have pushed against this for several reasons, one being they wouldn't be able to afford need-based scholarships. What do you see ahead for higher ed?
Well, for higher ed, as opposed to K through 12, it hasn't worked out very well. Most of the teachers who had never even heard of Zoom were given 3 days to get their courses online. It's not a surprise that most of it didn't work out very well in the spring. But college students were in a particular bind because at some places, like USC, where tuition is $60,000 a year, who wants to spend $60,000 a year going to school in your parents' basement for a system that's not as good? We're going to see a lot of colleges disappear, sadly, been put into a horrible predicament because their costs don't go down. They still have to maintain the physical plant. The only thing they really save is a little bit of electricity. So it's been a terrible situation for everyone. But we think students, K through 12 and college, will be in front of teachers as quickly as possible. That's not a permanent change, we think.
I want to deepen what you said about K through 12 students, though. You believe that they will be back in front of their teachers in person. You don't see us moving forward with more online schooling, say, into the next school year.
well, just today as we're recording this, Governor Newsom in California announced considerable aid to get students back in the classroom in early 2021. And there's more research that shows the virus is spreading less among students at school. So no, we do believe, and our work tends to support this, that students will be back at the latest when it's safe and they're vaccinated, potentially with proper funding and conditions even earlier. When I used to teach, I used to tell my students, this was in college, only 20% of what you learn is in the classroom. The other 80%'s in the hallway or walking in and out of class. So students have really been, this has been a horrible year for students, and we think they'll be back as soon as it's safe, if not even a little earlier.
There have also been huge changes in the way we shop. Your team found that folks who had never made an online purchase, let me see if I get this right, 4 weeks into the pandemic, 37% had done it for the first time. This kind of disruption is kind of mind-boggling.
We've never seen that kind of adoption, but necessity, you know, made it. Amazon just shone through the pandemic. It was a lifesaver, but it is terrifying, the growth they've seen. Their revenues in the first 6 months of the pandemic grew 40%. Now, that's not a big deal if your company's making $1 million. They're a $1 trillion company, and they grew 40%. And they're just getting started. I know that sounds like an exaggeration, but Amazon Commerce is only in about 12 countries, and they've moved into beyond commerce. They've moved into entertainment, but now they're moving into medical and pharmacy and banking. I mean, they really are getting started. And if you really want to attribute to Amazon, you know, if you're looking at distributing the vaccine, which seems to be inefficient at the moment, Amazon's the greatest logistics company in the history of the world. They have billions of moving parts every day. They should be distributing the vaccine, but for some other issues involved.
Yeah, there's some other issues involved there, but I'm guessing some folks have thought of this before. You know, it's not just Amazon that's really seen huge growth this year. Apple stock has nearly doubled to around $135 a share. Then there's Alphabet up about 30%. Is this a bubble, or are these tech companies just getting started?
I genuinely feel they're just getting started. The room for growth, the runway is enormous. The numbers boggle the mind. The bill paying, the PayPal, the Afterpay, those things are becoming even bigger because we've essentially become a cashless society during the pandemic. As you look at the entertainment companies, the growth of Netflix and Disney Plus, all of these tech, and they are tech companies now because of streaming, all of these tech companies, the growth potential is really just at the beginning. And I know with the numbers like that, it doesn't seem possible, but it really is.
When we talk about the future of commerce, of these tech companies, we also can't help but talk about regulation. Do you think that regulations will be a reality in the future, in the near future?
Yes. Well, there's two types of regulation that we see on the horizon, and both a little more likely under a Democratic administration. But the first type is for invading privacy, not policing their systems. Facebook is at the front of the line there. Some real regulation on how they protect people's privacy. The other kind of regulation that we're going to see later into the year is based on size, that these companies, in many people's views, have just become too big. The Justice Department in the last 30 years has gone after the old AT&T, Microsoft, IBM. They are little flies compared to what Amazon and Alphabet, Google and Apple and Facebook are. And the anti-competitive practices, the inability of others to gain a foothold, we're going to see some real antitrust action. So we're going to see regulation based on behavior, mainly Facebook and a little bit of Twitter, and then regulation proposed based on size.
Jeffrey Cole is founder and director of the Center for the Digital Future at USC Annenberg. Jeffrey, thank you so much for this conversation and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And I think we mean that with more conviction than we've ever said in our lives.
Don't we?
To have a happy yes. New Year. Thank you, Tanya.
And you can share your thoughts on what you think your post-pandemic life will look like. What changes have you made that you're taking into the future? How will your work or school or social lives change? Write us at hereandnow.org.